As a parent, the last thing you want is for your child to become addicted to something. That's a struggle that really never goes away for life unless God intervenes. If you have a child who's already down that path, how do you pick up the pieces and regroup and move forward? I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta. He's a counselor, and he leads our parenting team here at Focus. And Danny, in your counseling practice, I'm sure you've had parents who are there with their child, and their child is addicted to something, porn or drugs. Yeah. Tell me about an example that comes to mind and how you help them kind of navigate.
I mean, there's so many, right? A lot of Christian parents have come to the counseling office, and that's why their son or daughter has gone off the rails. And it's all too frequent that this does happen. And it is because it is a way to cope.
And for the child.
For the child. The children, the teenager gets exposed to a variety of ways to cope that their friends are doing. They think, oh, it's normal. This is what other guys are doing. And you know, I'll just do it for a season or try it once because they're curious. Yeah. And then they get stuck into it. I remember a teen boy that got into smoking pot and just wanted to try it out. And his parents were really, really busy. They didn't find out that he was smoking pot until much later. And his belief was that no one's getting harmed. It's not a big deal. Why don't you guys just let me do this? It calms me down. It helps me be connected socially. I mean, it helps me in so many different ways. Why would you not want this for me? I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it says that I shouldn't smoke pot. And so he had that argument back to them. And so he said, why can't I do this? What is wrong with you guys? And turn it back to them.
Oh.
And so in that conversation, we got to go into the deeper needs within those behaviors. Why are you doing it? And it's out of complete fear. And when we do things out of fear, they're destructive, even if they don't feel destructive at the beginning.
Yeah.
And as we looked at areas of his life that had fallen down, he began to open up to the possibility, was still arguing back on it. This was a long road. And then he took some time off from counseling because he was upset with the parents, with me, of what we were putting as parameters for him that would be healthy for him. Mm-hmm. He ended up coming back because things did unravel and fall apart. But he came back to those foundations his parents had set that were biblical foundations. It's just exciting to see when kids do that.
That is, I'm sure, hopeful to some parents who are feeling every bit of the emotion you were describing earlier. And certainly we're here to help. And if you do nothing else, write this number down, 800-A-FAMILY, or give us a call today on that number and request to speak with one of our counselors, because we can meet you over the phone and kind of hear you out and give you some further hope and even a connection locally for somebody that you would want to stay in touch with to help kind of navigate these difficulties with your child. So again, 800, the letter A in the word family. That's a free call. And our counseling team will be happy to call you back. Now, this leads to the other part of the hope, which is, parents, you're laying a foundation regardless of what choices your children make. Focus President Jim Daly spoke with Dr. Erwin Lutzer about the difficulties when your child makes bad choices and your urge to kind of bail them out. And they've been talking about lessons learned from the New Testament parable of the prodigal son. That's in Luke chapter 15.
It's one of the things that sometimes I'm concerned about, even in my own parenting. Am I trying to prevent my boys from experiencing the pigsty? And I think it's the inclination of most parents to try to protect rather than let God do his work in the pigsty.
Well, in the book, I give a couple of illustrations, but one of them is a boy that we know very, very well because we're close friends with a family, and he gave me permission to tell his story. How that he was into drugs, began selling drugs. He was incarcerated twice. Huh. And even in jail, all that he could think about is how foolish I am. I'm going to do it much better next time. But then what happened is he got out of jail and everything went wrong. I mean, he lost his job. He lost his friends. Somebody broke into his car and pulled it away and so forth. And he cursed God. Huh. He just let God have it. And when he was finished speaking to God, he said, God, all this is your fault. And it was as if there was a voice within him that says, no, this is your fault. And if you continue on this road, you will die. That boy got on his knees, began to confess his sins. He said he confessed sins he had long since forgotten that he had committed. But anyway, parents who think to themselves that they can always bail their child out, so to speak, and therefore the child depends upon them in any way to sustain his rebellion, I think that they need a lot of wisdom in knowing that there comes a time when the child has to be let go and let the pigsty do its work, as we mentioned.
And you are, in that regard, you are trusting God to take over, really, right? To take the reins, so to speak.
I want to say this. This may be the most important thing I say today. Parents have to realize that they cannot convert their child. Conversion is God's business. What parents have to do is to give that child to God and trust God to do in that child what they cannot. Frequently, I pray for my grandchildren. Well, I pray for them all the time, but I use different prayers, and maybe we'll get into that, how Scripture can be used. But I often pray, God, capture their hearts. See, you might talk your son out of sleeping with his girlfriend, but that doesn't mean much. He's going to do it the next time anyway. What he needs is a heart change.
Right.
Create within me a clean heart, O God, David prayed. And what we need to do is to ask God to capture their hearts in such a way that they are transformed. And I give several illustrations of that in the book.
Yeah, it's so critical. And I think at times we tend to parent in the Christian community toward behavior rather than heart, you know, and you, once they're out of your home, especially in their 20s, if you've only parented them in behavior activity, they get a star for behaving this way, but they don't have the core foundation of why do I choose this behavior.
Jim, to put it simply, there are many parents who want good kids, but not necessarily godly kids.
Wow.
So what you want to do is to have a child who doesn't get into drugs, who doesn't get into sex, you know, who stays away from all of these addictions, and then you're happy. Well, yes, to some extent you can be happy. But this gets to the core of what we're talking about when it has to do with the heart, where you not only are a good kid, but you're a godly kid because God has implanted within you the desire to live righteously. And you make those choices, even if they are difficult.
Well, Danny, no doubt what Jim and Dr. Lutzer are talking about is touching a nerve with some of our listeners.
Yes.
So earlier you offered a little bit of hope. Let's offer some more encouragement. That story of the prodigal son, I like to think of it as the forgiving father, because I think that's really what the point is God is this amazingly forgiving, accepting father. When my child comes home from the pigsty, so to speak, when they run out of their resources, when they start to come back, how do I respond?
Wow. There's so many temptations to say, hey, I told you so, right? That's a temptation deep down. But the other side, most parents are just, they're ecstatic. They want to hug their child, just like in that story, with grace and forgiveness, but with a lot of pain along the way. And I've traveled this season with a lot of families in the counseling practice, where there have been a lot of stories of redemption and very few that have not returned into a redemptive story. So I want to give that hope. But the
you're
road
saying
is,
most parents who have a child who is a prodigal or who strays,
they come back. They come back to the reset of the foundations you've laid. For some, the road is longer than others. And so be patient, lean in, pray continuously, but I've seen some become nurses, become professionals, and ones that are serving Christ, that are getting involved with their church, some youth pastor types that got reset and came back to that relationship with God and are having new and different relationships with their parents and their families. The man along the way, there were a lot of tears, there were a lot of pain, a lot of depression, a lot of sadness, a lot of money spent either in residential programs or other things that they had to invest in. But just don't give up. lean in. This is a child that God loves even more than you do. And so as you lean in, don't let it divide your home. Don't let it divide you as a couple.
Yeah.
Make sure you're finding a community of people that can travel this journey with you.
Yeah, we've been so fortunate. My wife and I are in a life group for the past 20 years. And we've all of the parents in this group, we've all had children who have kind of made some bad choices in life. And they've walked away from God at some point or another. Mm-hmm. And we've encouraged each other, we've prayed for each other, and we've felt grief and sorrow, which I think is appropriate.
Yes.
When your child is struggling. Mm-hmm. I mentioned our counseling team earlier. Again, the number is 800-A-FAMILY, if you'd like to schedule a time for somebody to give you a call back. You'll find some immediate encouragement on our website. We've got a lot of great resources, and certainly one that so many have resonated with is the book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, A Practical Guide for Praying Parents, because prayer is what you can do, Mom and Dad. Get a copy of that book today when you make a generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. Help us create podcasts like this one, the broadcast, all the resources we have. Donate today, and we'll say thank you for your gift of any amount by sending that book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, A Practical Guide for Praying Parents. And we'll hear more from Dr. Lutzer next time as he addresses the need that we have to apologize when we do something wrong with our kids. I'm John Fuller, and on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, thanks for listening today to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.